You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any rights yet? I do.
Just like that little critter told me down by the coal creek. It don't matter if your poles aren't dusty. Beer in the tackle box out on the flare. I'm baiting that hook with only the right look. Lure in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide. Baba's going out of sight.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I am in the studio this morning with my special guest co-host, Captain Lisa Fitzgerald, director of CCA Star. Good morning, Lisa.
Well, good morning, and thanks so much for having me here. It's been so much fun already.
Yeah, you finished off that breakfast sandwich pretty quick.
I am telling son. Is that what they say?
Yeah, that is. I'm telling you, breakfast in this studio is where it's at.
Well, thanks to Captain Greg Stamper for that.
Yeah. He is always slaving before he leaves to go run his charters on Saturday mornings. He's always slaving over the stove. So, Greg, thank you for all of that. And we are actually going to head on over to line one because we've got Dave Westra with Lear's Economy Tackle standing by. So we're going to grab his call. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Debbie and Lisa.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm fine. We're fine.
We missed you last week, Dave. So what's the
scoop?
No,
you didn't. No, you didn't. You were having fun last week.
We did have some fun. I'm not going to lie. We did have some fun here in the studio last Saturday, for sure. It was great having George and Mike in the house. They are definitely entertaining and informative. Lots of good nuggets of wisdom from those two. So, yeah, it was great. But what's going on up at Lear's, Dave? And what's the scoop from the river? What's the latest report?
Well, one of the things, and I had sent you a picture of that big sunshine bass that was caught up at Ortona.
Yeah.
And since then, I've seen two more pictures and had a couple more people tell me about the sunshine bass that they've been catching around Ortona. None of them as big as that 30-incher, but these fish were in the mid to lower 20s as far as lengths go.
Yeah.
There've even been some really nice bass, 5 to 8 pounders caught in that section of the river, not necessarily fishing at the lock itself, but guys fishing the river. The bass fishing has been really pretty good there, along with the sunshine bass, which are, you know, a real plus for us around here to have another species of fish that's a good fighter and different from what we would normally have seen in our area here. It's really been good. Now, odd thing about it is with one exception, the guys that are catching them are fellows that are snook fishing up there at the lock.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're using the Flare Hawk lures, which are pretty good size lure, and so the catches of a lot of them have been on the Flare Hawks, with one exception. He and his son, they were fishing with live worms, and he caught a sunshine on a live worm. But I thought that was really kind of strange to have him do that. But I guess if they're moving around and they're on a feed, I guess they'd probably eat most anything.
Yeah, I mean, normally they say that they primarily feed on bait fish, and I know they travel and feed in schools, and most of their activity takes place at a peak, you know, morning, evening hours, lower light conditions. But yeah, wow. Well, it's really neat to hear that they're catching some of those nice sunshines up in the river, because I know.
Right. And
those have to be stocked exclusively by the state of Florida, so it's good to hear that their populations are clearly doing pretty well in the river, and that anglers are able to take advantage of the fact that we've got them here in this area.
Yeah, I think a good number of them. I mean, the stories that I've heard is that they were stocked by the state as far upstate is in the Kissimmee area, and they've just found their way down to Kissimmee into Lake Okeechobee, and then into the Caloosahatchee, and you know, here we are. We got them not quite in downtown Fort Myers, but not that far. Really, not that that far away. The river fishing, other than that, in our saltwater to brackish areas, has actually been pretty decent itself. Chinook, redfish, jacks, tarpon have, you know, what we hear from the folks that are fishing, I'll say, the railroad trestle I-75 all the way down to midpoint. Midpoint in the late afternoon and evening, guys fishing with cut ladyfish at night are doing extremely well. Tarpon fishing. Mm-hmm. They're not catching any snook or anything down there in the evening. But that midpoint area puts it pretty close to the 4 mile point and the 4 mile cove area. Which, if you were minded towards doing some redfish snook fishing, you'd go back up into the cove or into the creek there, looking for those fish and maybe some juvenile tarpon up in the creek area there too. A couple of the baits that several of them have been using are suspending type baits because the water is relatively shallow for the guys that are snook fishing, and so suspending mirror lures or suspending nomad lures have been actually really pretty good. Again, the flare hawk fishery at the Franklin Lock. And excuse me, that the causeway bridges have actually picked up. So I mean, fishing in general, it's actually really been pretty good. I had some fellas in yesterday afternoon. We're talking about how good the mangrove snapper fishery has been, particularly up in the mid to upper Sound area there, and they get you know, really surprised because mixed in with the mangrove snappers, which were in the 14, 16-inch range, which is really pretty good.
Yeah, those are some nice mangrove snappers for inshore.
Excuse me, was a Kubera, so that was a surprise and a plus for them.
Yeah, and we've been hearing more of that over the past couple of years, so that's really
I think we've got a little bit of a nursery started here, maybe over the next couple of years. You know, we'll really see that improve as well as the mutton snapper fishery too. And the other fellow I was talking to that was catching the mangrove snappers, and we got talking about the Kubera that he caught there. He said he's actually, when he's been cast netting his bait, has been getting small. Every once in a while, he gets some small Kubera in there. So I think we've got ourselves almost a viable nursery system here for them now.
Yeah, and did they happen to say anything about, like, the type of area where they're seeing them and finding them? Any way it's different from...
Well, it's kind of structured areas somewhat.
Yeah.
The earlier Kuberas that we heard about were in the mouth of the river, mm-hmm. in and around Shell Creek and Punta Blanca Creek area. That's where we first started seeing pictures of them and hearing about them, almost all associated with mangrove. Then we started hearing about a few that were being caught up and around the Pineland area there. So I think the area has started to spread out just a little bit, and we're seeing them all over this. We'll just say the lower Pine Island Sound all the way up to almost up to the northern end of the Sound. So we're real excited about that fishery. I mean, I feel sure people have caught more than what we hear about because they look so much like.
Yeah, a lot of times people are probably
would look like. They're just a little bit bulkier through the
shoulders,
and they have more pronounced teeth.
Yep. Yeah. So a lot of times people probably just aren't even realizing that they're catching them or misidentifying them, but that's really interesting. And Dave, jumping back to tarpon, you were saying, so up in the river primarily, cut ladyfish mm-hmm. has been what's working well. People using some catfish tails too, or just primarily focusing on using ladyfish?
Well, the ones around midpoint are mostly all using cut bait.
Mm-hmm.
The people up the river ways troll a lot. They use bigger bombers, 17 series, and at the smallest, a 16 series. But the 17 series bomber has got heavier hooks on it. It's a little bit bigger lure. The one odd factor about that is, and this is taken from a fellow that we call Tarpon Bob. Tarpon Bob was a
Tarpon
really
Bob.
Good Upper East Coast fisherman, and he retired down here. And he started using these big bombers, and what he found is the darker colors work the best. And he actually paints. He'll come in, he'll buy any color 17 bomber that I have, and he'll take it home and either paint it black or dark purple.
Oh wow!
And he has the better luck.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning that a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's better luck on the dark colors.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's some guys that go down and fish down in the Chokoloskee area, and several of them have started using dark baits too. The Mirror Lure made one in their 72 series, and that they use that in purple. But there's also another lure that DOA puts out, and they use that one in a purple also. So it seems like the darker colors, both blacks and purples, seem to work best on tarpon. And if we go into fly fishing, then probably the number one color fly up in our area here, meaning Southwest Florida,
yep,
is a black and purple streamer. So there's something to that dark color for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I personally have had a lot of success using those darker colors and lower light conditions. So in the morning and in the evening, or if the water's particularly, you know, dirty or dark, those darker colors really seem to work. I think it creates more of a profile in the water, and the fish can see it better.
I think so, too.
So
my fly fishing experience for tarpon in the Upper Sound, I was using black and purple,
mm-hmm,
and if I didn't hook a tarpon on there, it seemed to me on the falling tide coming off of in back of Upper Captiva, you have to excuse me. I got a damn frog in my throat, and I can't get it cleared out of there. But anyway, I'd be using black and purple flies, and catching trout on the black and purple on the edge of the drop off where the intercoastal waterway is. I think that's an overlooked that's an overlooked color.
Yeah.
For fishing in general.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I
black
agree.
And purple.
I think people gravitate in a lot of instances to the brighter colors, you know, the chartreuses, the bright pinks. But how many times do we get out there and actually switch it up? You know, how many times do we just use what we've always used just because we think that's what's going to continue to work instead of actually getting out there and trying something different? And I mean, I don't know, do they make, I haven't really seen many jig heads that are in black or purple. Have you, Dave?
Pardon me?
Have you seen or do you carry any jig heads that are in those darker colors like black or purple?
Strike King makes some.
Yeah.
King makes a black jig head.
Yeah. And I think, just thinking back, I don't think I got any dark heads here at all. Red, maybe a deep red at the darkest of the colors. Now I've got some dark bodies in some of the DOA shad tails, but, as far as a dark head goes, I think you're right, Lisa. The Strike King, I did have some black heads of theirs in here at one time several years ago, and just that's one of those kind of things. We get things in, and we use them, or they get bought, and next thing you know, the peg's empty, and you kind of forgot what was there.
Well, Mission Fishing also makes a black jig head as well, black and gold,
yes,
black with
do.
Gold
yes.
fleck. Yeah,
yeah. And for freshwater, I know my Z-Man jig heads. I've got a lot in black. They make black jig heads too. But I mean, for saltwater, you really don't see anglers using black very often at all, which is kind of interesting,
no.
given the fact that in a lot of cases, it is those darker colors that can work when you've got cloudy water, murky water conditions, and or those lower light conditions. So that's interesting.
Well, I do a lot of spillway fishing, and
the no live bait people have about five colors of bodies and associated heads, and they make a purple body with a purple, deep purple head. So that's another one, and those are big hooks. So they're
those are geared towards saltwater anglers primarily.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the No Live Bait Needed brand, you said, Dave?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I have to try those out.
Yeah.
Have to give those a test.
Well, they were primarily a company that was started by a couple of young guys over on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And so their baits are big and they're heavy. Because of the deeper water over on the other coast and some of the bigger fish that you find over there. If you Google up No Live Bait Needed and look at some of their videos, you'd be amazed at the sizes of some of the fish that they catch over there. And they just started about a year ago of distributing them to tackle shops over here on this coast. Before that, it was you either had to buy them online or they had a couple of shops over on the other coast that they sold to, because they would mold all night long and they would sell out by the next afternoon. That's how well they got accepted over on the other coast. So they never had enough that I could have any here at the shop. Well, this about a year ago, we started being able to get some of those. The first question that they ran into when they came to the shops on this coast is, do you make a 3-inch tail? And they said, no, we didn't. Well, now they do. They make it a smaller head and a 3-inch tail.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only an online purchase. But they've been extremely successful. The fellas over here that were buying them online, it was costing them about $15 postage to get them shipped over here.
Wow.
And when they found out that you could buy them over on this coast, and there's only about five dealers on this coast to have them. Anderson's has them, we have them. Somebody in Naples has them, and I think the next stop up would be Fish and Franks in Charlotte County.
Mm-hmm.
And then north of that, I think it's maybe Sarasota. And as far as I know, that's the only dealers on this side over there had them. But they were an excellent addition to our inventory. The young folks, they save money by coming in here and getting them because they're not having to pay the postage to get the stuff shipped over. The only thing is now they're asking me for the damn 3 inches, and they're not available over here yet. Probably next fall we'll be able to be carrying the 3-inch tails, but they've been they're really, really good. They've worked excellent.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely have to try those for sure. Well, they are playing our tune already, Dave.
Oh, darn it.
But thanks so much for chatting with us this morning. We will definitely catch up with you next Saturday. In the meantime, you have a great weekend and have a great Easter. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Thank you, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That is Dave Wester with Lear's Economy Tackle. If they don't have it, you don't need it. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
Walking that ribbon of a highway, I saw me, that endless skyway.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, online at ESPNSWFL.com. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Lisa Fitzgerald, director of CCA Star. And good morning, Lisa.
Well, back again at it, aren't we?
We are. And we are, gosh, it's hard to believe, an hour and a half already down. And we've got so much more left to talk about here. And we actually have Betty Bowman standing by on line one. So I'm going to go ahead and grab her call. We'll see what's new with Ladies Let's Go Fishing. Hey, Betty. Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for helping and speaking at Ladies Let's Go Fishing. The ladies released about 103 fish on Sunday.
Wow, awesome. That is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, a few trout were kept, but, you know, we had, like, Brian Lynch released 15 snook, Rob Fusenecker, 45 sea trout.
Wow.
Bill Walker, a whole bunch.
That's fantastic. Snook,
All the boats did very good, and I was on a boat where mother and son went fishing, and he had cerebral palsy, and he was having a little tough time learning how to cast and all that, but to see him catch his first snook in his life with his mom, that's maybe is probably his first fish, after, you know, coming from nowhere and learning the skills, was just, oh, my God, there were fire in their eyes. They were so excited.
Well, that's what it's all about. That is definitely what it's all about. I'm so glad to hear that everybody had a great time, and it was great to be a part of helping the ladies with their skills on Saturday. So, yeah, lots of, you had a great turnout, and lots of ladies, you know, were definitely having an opportunity to learn about, you know, throwing a cast net and casting a fly rod and tying a lot of different types of knots. So it was a great morning.
It was fun watching them scream when the live shrimp jumped out of the container when they were learning how to, you know, where to put
the shrimp.
Live shrimp.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh, yeah.
You know, shrimp don't jump when they're in the grocery store, but they jump when they're live.
Well, I remember, Betty, you've been doing this a long time. I remember some of the first seminars working with you and, Brenda Berger and Pat Casera and learning how to fillet fish down in Ford Island, down in the Fort DeSoto Park. I mean, just you have created so many great memories for so many women and introduced so many women to the sport. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And we love promoting CCA Florida Star. I send an email out to our ladies because I see them when they come fishing with their CCA Florida Star measuring sticks.
Yep.
And I told them about your early entry, your double whammy.
Yes.
And you still can sign up early because you have, don't you give away like weekly prizes and things like that before the tournament starts?
Very, very much so, Betty. We actually, weekly drawings for Engle cooler packages valued at $250. And even if you registered, you know, right after the tournament ended, you're in the drawing every week, and it's just really a great way to win before you even start fishing. And then once you start fishing, so many different opportunities, both inshore and offshore. So it's a fun competition.
Well, it's good for people to know because you fish where and when you want, and you could end up with a boat.
That's right.
Exactly.
No, well, even in some of the other divisions, the trout division has a brand new boat. The snook division has a brand new boat. Kayak has a brand new kayak. There's paddle boards. There's canoes. There's all kinds of really great product. Electric bikes. So many different things that people can win.
you know, like $500,000 worth of prizes. But you probably already talked about that.
We're getting to it. You're a great segue.
We're getting to that for sure. We've got Captain Barry standing by online too, Betty. So I'm going to have to go grab his call. But it was great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in and giving us the update on how the ladies did on Sunday.
We have more events at Ladies Let's Go Fishing. So to find out, just go to the website, ladiesletsgofishing.com.
There you go.
And fish on.
And you've got a Facebook page too. So I know ladies can go there to check out
the pictures
of all the catches and how the event went a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, Betty, thanks for calling in. You have a great Easter, and hopefully we'll catch up with you soon.
See you soon, Betty.
Okay.
All right.
Take care, Betty. Bye-bye. All right. Heading over to line two, we've got Captain Barry Kuda standing by. Hey, Barry. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Saturday.
It sounds like you are out there on the water this morning, so you got a report for us? Man. Give us the scoop real quick. What have you been catching out there?
I caught his first ever snook, 19 inches.
Woo!
Yep, landed it all by himself. Well, landed it, boated it.
Well, so congratulations to him.
And now everybody's hooking up, so we're having a good time, and the weather is just astonishingly beautiful.
Yeah, yesterday morning was too. So, do you have time to give us a quick report, or are you tied up?
A little of both. A little of both. We're fishing, but I can talk and cast at the same time.
All right, good. So let us know what you've been catching out there. I've been hearing some reports of some nice sea trout up to 24 inches being caught in Estero Bay.
Not been catching trout.
No trout. All right.
No, they've been successfully avoiding me. I think they're doing it on purpose. They see me coming, and the next thing you know. But been catching quite a few small snook and a whole lot of other kinds of fish. My clients caught 12 different species the other day. Mutton snapper, ladyfish, jacks, just everything. It's been great.
Well, good.
And, you know, the key to this is just get the rod bent. And they've been getting their rods bent in a very pleasing manner. Throwing some drag, big smiles.
Well, fantastic. I know you've got your hands full there, so we will not keep you. But thanks for checking in and giving us the update. We appreciate it.
We'll be listening to you.
All right, Barry. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend and have a happy Easter.
Thank you. You too.
All right.
Happy Easter.
Bye-bye, Barry. That is Captain Barry Kuda calling in with Barry Kuda Charters. All right, Lisa. So let's get into the nitty gritty here. So we started talking about some of the prizes that you can win, and we didn't really get a chance to dive into the different divisions. So let's talk about that, some of the species and the divisions, because I think a lot of people typically think of the CCA Star Tournament as being primarily inshore, but I know you've got an offshore division too for Miami, correct?
We've got offshore and inshore. You know, they primarily think of the Star Tournament as a tagged redfish competition, and it really isn't. That's the one aspect where you can win a brand new contender, Pathfinder, or a spider boat, or $50,000 cash if you catch the right tagged redfish. Mm-hmm. But we do have offshore and inshore species. We have mahi offshore, we have kingfish, and grouper. So if you have kingfish, grouper, or mahi, you can enter in any of those divisions. Again, it is a random drawing. The fish just must be of legal size to enter into the division. And then it isn't the biggest fish that wins. So every day that you go fishing, you can catch a grouper, kingfish, or dolphin and enter them in the divisions. We have some great prizes in those divisions. We have brand new Yamaha motors, Tigerus outriggers and gear product, AFCO product, Danco product. There's so many great supporters of our divisions, and those are the three offshore divisions. But any other offshore species that you catch can go in the Power Pole Conservation Division. And that's a really cool division too. Any fish you catch, that doesn't matter. Ladyfish, jack, catfish, shark, sailfish, wahoo, swordfish, any fish you catch, as long as the official measuring device is in the picture, you can submit that to the Conservation Division, and you have an opportunity to win some really great prizes from PowerPole. So, you know, it's a great way for us to gather data on the different species of fish, where they're caught. We have people entering pinfish and snapper, and you know, we heard that there's Kubera snapper in the bay. You enter your Kubera in the Conservation Division.
Mm-hmm.
So that's you know, that's a really cool division for anybody who's fishing. That's why we say any fish can win.
Yeah, and obviously we talked a little bit earlier about getting the youth more involved in the sport and in conservation and cleaning up our waterways. And I know there's a youth division
there, in
addition to all the scholarships. So it's a great opportunity, especially kids are out of school for the summer. You're wanting to get them outdoors. This is a great way to get them excited. I mean, to me, it's like, I know personally on the freshwater side, I get a lot of my anglers when I've got, you know, moms and daughters, fathers and sons getting out there on the water. I always tell them about the Florida Big Catch program because they can upload pictures of their catches to the Big Catch Florida website, and then they get a certificate. And it's just, you know, that feeling of accomplishment that they get for catching a big catch of a certain species. Plus, it helps them learn about the different species that we have in our freshwater waterways. But from a saltwater perspective, this is a great way to get the kids involved this summer. And when they're out there on the water fishing with you, you know, have them. I mean, the kids can register as well for the tournaments, correct?
So it's funny. They can be registered as a New Tide CCA member. That's only $10.
Okay.
And then we allow them to fish Star for free. So they don't even have to worry about, once they become a New Tide member, they fish Star for free. They can enter one fish a day of the multiple different species, and then they have their shot at two $25,000 scholarships, one from Realtree, one from Spider Boats, and then 10 $5,000 scholarships. And to date, we've awarded $700,000 in college scholarships from different organizations, fishing clubs, the Flagler Sport Fishing Club, the Sport Fishing Association over on the East Coast, Strike Zone, Sodium Fishing Gear, Southeast Environmental Solutions, Florida Cracker Kitchen. There are so many great companies that have supported this scholarship opportunity. And that's just for kids spending time with their families out on the water, catching fish, and creating memories. And it's more than just the scholarships. You know, it's just an amazing opportunity. And the families tell me how it has changed the way they spend their summers. Instead of organized sports, or instead of, you know, places where they're separated from their kids and don't get to spend time with their kids, when you put a child in organized sports, he's at the hands of the coach and other people. When you take them fishing, you are on the boat with them, spending quality time talking about things that you probably never thought you would talk about. Trace Adkins wrote a song that she thinks we're just fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about that.
I know that song.
You
yeah.
think we're just fishing? It's not. It is bonding time, monumental.
Absolutely. I mean, there is nothing that can compare with that feeling of being on the water with somebody and seeing them experience their first of a certain species, or maybe their biggest of a certain species. I mean, that experience will bond you together for life.
Well, so then I guess we're bonded because
we
that peacock bass yesterday was the biggest I've caught in Florida. So
that was so awesome. Yeah, I know. We got to talk about that too. So much to cover, and just a little over an hour left, but we got to head off to another break. So more when we come back. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Go out and play. Get drunk and pick a fight. Sin works best in the night. Everybody's missing the sun. Everybody's sleeping through the afternoon. How can you have any fun?
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida, online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good song. Great guitar.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I am in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Lisa Fitzgerald, director of CCA Star Tournament. And we're getting a few texts that are flowing in here. My goodness, I know time has been going by so fast, I haven't even had a chance to get to these text messages. But the good doctor sent in a text saying, good morning, Debbie. Enjoy the show this morning. We always enjoy the show. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the show. And we also got another text, Lise. I'll direct this one towards you. Are the measuring devices for Star Tournament available yet?
They are not available yet and won't be available until May the 13th. And you can find them at any local bait and tackle shop or West Marine facility.
Fantastic. And so folks can just go into their
all they have
West
to do
Marine.
Is go in and ask for them, and they are behind the counter. We don't leave them out in the open, but they are complimentary. All you have to do is ask for them.
We should ask Dave, but I believe last year Lear's Economy Tackle had the measuring devices
Dave
as
does.
Well. So you can stop in and get those from Dave. Yeah, so we started talking about some of the divisions in the tournament. We talked about the fact that it's a great way to get youth involved and families involved. We talked about a lot of the prizes. Let's talk a little bit, Lisa, about getting the, you know, getting these folks out on the water. Once they're out on the water, obviously people are always looking for the best types of areas to target some of the species that are involved in the tournament. And also, you know, what kinds of baits and lures they should be using given the time of year. So primarily people are going to be getting out there since the tournament runs from May 28th through September, the first week of September. People are going to be fishing the summer.
Right.
So in the summer, for you specifically, I know you fish a lot of artificials. What are some of your favorite artificials to use during the summer months when you're targeting redfish? Let's say, I know redfish is one of your favorites. It is your favorite species.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I always carry a couple of different redfish baits in my arsenal of baits that I carry. My favorite go-to is a red jig head. I usually either use a Mission Fishin' jig head or I use a Strike King jig head. Mm-hmm. And then I use the Little John. And I am going to tell you, for me, it's a confidence bait. It's a go-to bait. I can take and just sail it a mile if I have to, but I'm very accurate with it. I can, slip it back into little nooks and crannies up against mangroves on the oyster edges. And if you use it properly, you can definitely, it isn't weedless and it isn't snag resistant, but you can definitely, if you work it properly and work it along the bottom. I was fishing with a friend of mine and she was using a paddle tail with a keeper hook, you know, a weedless hook. And I was using the jig head. She's catching trout and snook and I'm just crushing the redfish. And she's like, well, why are you catching redfish and I'm only catching snook? And I said, it's the type of lure that you're using. If you take a look at a redfish, his mouth is on the bottom of his head and his eyes are lower to the bottom of his head. So he's a look down. He's looking at the bottom. He's feeding on crustaceans. He's feeding on crabs. Yes, he will hit a top water and yes, he'll roll on those baits. But, you know, primarily, they're, you know, opportunistic feeders. So whatever's on the bottom is what they're looking for. The same way with snook. Snook, their mouth turns up and their eyes are more on the top of their head. So they're feeding in the middle of the water column to the surface. So catching snook on baits that you use higher in the water column are a much better opportunity. So with the redfish, I also like a suspending twitch bait. And I love a suspending twitch bait. And I've been using two different products. I've been using a product called ProCure. But I found a new product out of Texas called Stank, S-T-A-N-K, Stank Stick. And it will go
That's a great name.
Yes. And it will go on the actual lure so much better than the ProCure. I love the ProCure for my soft plastics, but this, it's like a...
It's probably thicker and it's more like a glue stick consistency.
Yes. Yeah. Or chapstick. So be really careful.
Okay.
People have had them in their tournament bags and think it's chapstick.
So don't put that on your lips.
Don't unless you want to fish for a girlfriend. So, you know, I've been using that. I've been using the suspending twitch baits, the Miradines and the Mini Deans. And I will tell you, one of the things I've been finding, like I fish a lot of spillways. The West Coast has a few spillways, as the East Coast has more.
Yeah.
But those little mini deans in the darker colors with a scent on them are catching snook like crazy. But my redfish, everyone knows I'm just passionate about redfish. I mean, you know, last year I caught over 260 redfish for the year. So it won me an award. And so I was really excited to be able to hone in on what these redfish were looking for and their patterns. Oftentimes people will see a ton of redfish and they're casting at them and casting at them and the fish aren't eating.
Yeah.
Well, they're not wanting the fish to be moving. They're not wanting their bait to be moving. So one of the things that I found is when I see those fish that are kind of, I don't want to call them spastic, but moving or circling, I cast out and I, ahead of them, lead them, allow the bait to lay on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And as the fish gets within 6 to 8 inches, just barely lift your rod tip so that that bait starts to move just a slight bit, and you'll watch them pounce on that bait. If you have clear vision, you'll see them pounce on that bait, and you'll feel the thump, and you've got a fish on. There's so many different techniques and strategies.
That's a really, really great tip right there. Because, and I know we talked about this yesterday when we were in the car driving to our fishing spot, because a lot of times people think that they need to cast very close to the school, in which case you're going to spook them.
Right.
And I know even with bass fishing, a lot of people have kind of made the analogy that you want to almost think of enticing those fish like you're using a cat toy to entice a cat to play with a cat toy, right? So that's very much along the lines of what you're saying.
With the redfish, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I've used some different techniques. I love live target lures that look like the little mini pinfish.
Yes.
And I suspend those live target lures. They're very heavy. And you can only pull them through that hot zone of where a fish might be momentarily, and then it's gone. So I suspend them under a cork. And I can throw that up current and allow that cork will allow that fit, that bait to bob. And it can bob right around the end of an oyster bar, or it can bob all the way down the front of a mangrove edge.
And just bob with
and
the current.
And bob. And you know, you don't pop it. You're just barely bobbing it, because the way that that live target is the O-ring on the live target allows its nose to look like it's like tipping. And so as your cork is bobbing, it's bobbing up and down in a vertical angle, just like a little pinfish is feeding on the bottom.
Trout, really giving it that lifelike
fish, tarpon action. Everything crushes it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great tip. So stay tuned. More tips when we come back. We got to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
The final countdown to the weekend. I'm talking 3 days off the deep end. The kind of buzz that keeps you reeling. Go get that something in the water you've been needing. Whatever floats your boat, whatever winds your watch.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.